The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening again. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, Tom D. On the 19th of January. Boy, the month's almost over. Wednesday. Thanks for coming back. We're going to have a continuation from last night with our guest, Roger Sales. And I don't know if anybody noticed, but I don't know if they gave Sleepy Joe a couple of B vitamin shots or something. He appears to be somewhat bright-eyed and bushy-tailed out there on the Fox News. But, you know, he said today, he says, doesn't do any good to vaccinate all the 350 million Americans. We need to poison the whole world. And you know what? It's just, I just see this coming. I see them going to start going around the United States, knocking on doors saying, look, you either take this or we're going to lock you up, or we're going to lock you in your home, weld the doors shut, or we're going to shoot you. I don't know what, you know, what they're going to do it in what stages, but that just makes more what Roger has to say that much more relevant. And I'll tell you what, as I said last night, I've been looking for this answer for over 40 years, trying to figure out just how it is that they are putting a noose around our neck. And I think Roger has found that. Now, on the Republic Broadcasting website, we have the three documents that Roger published. And if you need to, they're right there. There's a link for you to download them. They're all PDF files, so that you don't have to worry about any kind of problems, you know, viruses and garbage like that. If you don't have a way to open them, just go and download Adobe Reader. It's free. It takes a couple minutes to install, and then you're in good shape. Michael may have some other formats up. I don't know, but take a peek at the website. We've also started Surfs Up with Roger Sales. We have a special private group. It's not private. It's available to everybody on the planet, but it's a segregated group for people who want to know more about Roger and what his ideas are. And we've just set up a private little forum for him. Again, I use that word incorrectly. It's not private. It's segregated, I guess, just to keep it from getting all mixed in with the thousands of other posts that are being made by the thousands of members that are on the TLBTalk.com forums. Okay? So I want to thank Roger Landry for allowing us to have that. And as a partner for RBN, you know, we're all working together for the same goal. Put the government back in their box and close the lid and keep them in there. So, all right, well, we're going to bring on Roger. He's going to pick up where he left off. We're going to hold calls tonight at some point. I'm not exactly sure where and when, but stand by because we're going to do it. Good evening, Roger.
Hey, Tom. Happy to be back.
Well, it's good to have you back.
You been getting any feedback from our talks, have you?
Yes, actually, I've been getting quite a few emails and comments, you know, text messages, posts on TLB Talk. People have been sending me private messages. Really, they really liked what you had to say, and they're just like, you know, where did this guy come from? How come we hadn't heard about it? I guess this is people that hadn't listened to RBN before. So, hey, you know what? You surprised me, too. You know, I've been looking for you for 45 years. Where the hell have you been?
I've been out there yelling my lungs out to try and get people to listen. I just couldn't get them to pay any attention, Tom, quite honestly. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. I mean, I started 11 years ago publicly on this radio network right here. Then I've drifted through a couple of networks. I refer to them as ex-wives. So I got three ex-wives out there. And we'd have people that were interested that the information resonated with, but it didn't seem to grow very much. I mean, I was on Joyce Riley's show for three separate times. She had a huge audience, you know, about five plus million around the world. And I got some response. A lot of my good students today are people that heard those initial broadcasts years ago. And, you know, one of my better listeners, he said, well, I heard you on Joyce. And I said, well, we'll just see how Roger does, you know. Let's sit back and watch here. And 7 years later, he comes around. You know, well, I guess you're doing pretty good. And now he's one of our regulars and one of our better students. And I put a lot of thought into this because I almost quit a couple of times just because we weren't advancing and I couldn't get anybody to listen for the most part. And it's very frustrating.
Well, you know, back in the 90s, I kind of, you know, like I said previously, and I've said it before just talking with you, had my eyes opened in 1980. And I'll tell you, for a good 10 or 15 years, I tried to spread this message to people, try to wake people up. And you know what? You start talking to them, and they look like deer in the headlights. You know, they go, like, what are you talking about?
Boy, you know?
And I kind of like gave up about the middle of the 90s. I kind of gave up. And I mean, I would still do it if I found somebody that looked like they were interested. And I would go into, you know, try to point them in the right direction and, you know, tell them what's really going on. And then I just kind of like, you know what? I got to go about my life. I got to do what I can. And then somewhere along the line in the early, you know, 2000s, I heard RBN. And I go like, okay, who are these guys? And that's, you know, then I got hooked up with John Stattmiller and RBN. And, you know, the rest is history. So now I've met you, and here we are.
Well, you know, I was a teacher for 10 years in Atlanta. I taught at the Art Institute of Atlanta, and after my record business active career, and I taught those subjects there. They had a music curriculum. It's really more of a student loan mill than anything else, but it was really satisfying for me, and I found that I loved teaching. It's one of the most rewarding things that I've ever done professionally, really. And that carries over to this. I get an awful lot of personal satisfaction out of it, meeting you, fine people, and we resonate on this level, and we're connected on a level of pure truth, and it just gives us all a really different relationship. You know, most relationships don't connect on this type of a pure truth level. And so I find it extremely rewarding. In teaching, there is a saying that said, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Have you ever heard that, Tom?
Oh, that's how I learned computers.
Well, I think that's what's happening here, in all honesty, because now I can look back and see that back in those days, through that development and improvement of understanding, is that, I mean, I understood it, but I didn't have like that document I can put in front of you where it says all U.S. citizens are U.S. nationals. And you'd have to go in and explain all this stuff and try. And a lot of people, just their eyes would roll into the back of their heads. It is confusing, you know. It's confusing the way they've set it up intentionally, and then they've programmed you on all these opposites. So you're fighting it on several levels, and it's several levels deep. And so I can see now that most people, as a whole, weren't ready for the answer, and I think that's changed dramatically, as you were talking about when we opened up here. And the other thing is, really, in the last couple of years is when I've really come to understand what they've done. I didn't understand the relevance of the two questions. I understood all the rest, but it just, you know, it just hadn't put it together like the Rubik's Cube. It just wasn't all one color. And then all of a sudden, one day, it just dinged me upside the head, and I went, holy smokes, how have I missed this, you know? And now that we've got our complete arms around that, it's much easier to explain, you know? Because now you can go to the end game and explain it. Before, you had to start and give all this minutia of law and history. And that three, it used to take me 3 hours with one break to get people to a point where I could take them to 26 CFR 1.1-1A, the IRS jurisdictional statement, and explain to them what non-resident alien was. It took 3 hours to get where you could get to that one point and get it across. Okay, and now it's much easier. And on top of that, people are ready to listen because of like the jab thing, very important, obviously, and all the other things that they're getting ready to tighten the screws on. And if you follow through on this, if you take the time to learn it, ingest it, get the material, get your arms around it, get your confidence up, because a lot of people have a hard time believing this is so simple, and submit that one sentence to them. Now they can't do anything to you without totally losing their legitimacy. See, they've got this underlying jurisdictional nexus that they can fall back on. You don't understand it, but that doesn't keep them from pressing it forward. They've always got to have something underneath that gives them that gives them this false reliability and
Sense of authority.
well, it's just this. Here's another example. With the election 2 years ago, they've got all the states okay and certifying the election. Okay, and that's the same thing as you answering those questions. Yes, doesn't matter that they know there was fraud. It doesn't matter that all the other things, as long as they got those certification of those states, they got the election won. But if they lost some of that, and you can see how terrified they are, the potential of that happening, well, that's what we're doing. And see, they might can control the states and the certification, but they can't control your decision to decide what you are and what you want to be and which political system you want to live under. They got no control over that. And what you're doing, as I've said a couple of times here, when you file this paperwork, what you're doing is the old saying that's been floating around our community since I've been in it. I never understood it before as well as I do now. And that's make a tyrant act like a tyrant. When you file this, you're putting them in checkmate. You can see how they are. They stand mute, man. I mean, for 11 years, I've been seeing them stand mute. They've had a couple of feeble attempts along the way. They sent out not a lot to a lot of people, but to a few. And all of a sudden I'd get the, hey, Roger, I got this back from the State Department, this letter. Okay, well, send it to me. And it's, and the every one of them had the same first paragraph. And the rest of them they could cut and paste, obviously. But the same first paragraph in every one of them, and it went something to the effect that it appears by what you've submitted that you're a citizen of the United States. And then it quotes the 14th Amendment. And then it goes, blah, 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 except by operation of law. That's always at the tail end, except by operation of law. So we'd write them back and go, well, is Vattel's law of nations, that every man has the right of personal political self-determination, is that operation of law enough for you? Boom, they'd get their passport. Okay. So what they were doing, I called them bluff letters. What they were doing is sending out these little bluff letters to try and see if you knew your stuff. Okay, and there, if you see this again, a situation where you need to know the material. If you don't know the material and you get it back, well, I guess I'm a citizen of the United States. You throw it in the trash can. They won. Okay,
yeah, it's not just like when you get a letter from a debt collector or somebody saying, you know, we found that you owe us X amount of dollars and we want you to pay up or other, we're going to take you to court. And then when you slap them with discovery, they go, "Oops, got the wrong person here."
Yeah. Yep. Now, what we did, another one with IRS. IRS tried, because it came, all this stuff has just come to me. And my program has been such a great help because we got great people that come on there. We have just open conversations. And those things spurn my thinking. You know, I'm always thinking about the program or what we said or all this stuff all the time. And so it hit me one day about getting out of IRS here. Okay. And I said, well, I think you can probably notice IRS and remove yourself from the tax system. And so I had a kid out in California who said, well, I'll do that. And so he submitted a letter to him with his affidavit. And he got back a letter from the IRS in Ogden, Utah Service Center. And they said, I guess you just earned yourself a $5,000 frivolous filing penalty. Well, hold it. We didn't file anything. We legally, lawfully noticed you on this, okay? So there's another example of the thuggery, just like from the State Department with these bluff letters. There's IRS coming back and trying to hit you with a $5,000 frivolous filing penalty on serving them legal notice. Well, what's going on there? They got no defense. That's the only thing they got left. And they're a bunch of international thugs anyway, and that's the way they operate. That's the only way they know to operate, see? And so,
yeah, they figure if they're getting something from you, it must be something, must be a tax return. And, you know, because you're a good little slave and, didn't do the little slave thing right here.
Here, they knew exactly what this was. And that's the only thing. They were trying to cower you and intimidate. $5,000 frivolous filing. Well, it wasn't a filing. And I drafted a letter for this young man and sent it back to him. And I absolutely promise you, I'll be happy to send you a copy of it, Tom. I think you'll get a kick out of it. I promise you, whoever got that and read it, their retina on their eyes burned. Okay. I got another one from the State Department. They were trying to keep a guy's documents from him. And I caught him absolutely, totally out front lying on State Department letterhead. And I burned somebody a new rectum with that reply. And the guy that had the problem, I think he toned my letter, my response down. He didn't want to send it to him. But in those rare circumstances, I'll sit down and write them for somebody. That one really hacked me off. But you see, this is out of desperation because they got nothing else to do. They can't do anything with this. You've got them in a corner. They've been caught with their hands, their feet, and their extra long proboscis right in the cookie jar, okay? And they got no other defense except now to take the mask off. That's their only move they got left. And if you want to take the mask off, then you potentially risk showing yourself to be a tyrant, an open and notorious tyrant to billions of people. And they know how that ends up. That's why they won't do it.
Yep. Oh, yeah, they show their hand. No more mention of proboscis. I used to raise mosquitoes, and it just brings back bad memories.
used to raise mosquitoes?
Yeah, I worked for the CDC and the Disease Vector Ecology Center.
Oh, my Lord.
When I was in the military. And, yeah, I worked in the malaria lab. And we used to take hydroxychloroquine every day because, you know, we were working with possibly malaria infected mosquitoes.
Right.
And I'll tell you, we had some mean little critters, man. And if the captain ever got bit, nobody got any time off. You were there for the weekend.
do you know that's where gin and tonic came from?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's what you call it?
It's quinine.
You can make
water.
It out of. Yeah, quinine. Yeah. You can make it out of the peels from oranges and grapefruits. Yeah. You can make it at home.
And in India, when the Brits were over there killing everybody for the East India Trading Company, and they're letting them control India, they were getting malaria, and so they came up with quinine water. And the soldiers hated drinking it so much that they started putting gin in it. That's where gin and tonic became popular.
That's when they were using that when they were building the Panama Canal and the Suez Canal mosquitoes. Malaria was rampant.
Of course, that was over there in India. If you've never had a study on the Sassoons and the way they dominated India and caused the whole China opium wars and all that stuff, which they're just mimicking that blueprint all over the world today. And the Sassoons went over and intermarried with the Rothschilds, and that's who we're dealing with today. Okay. So I covered pretty much everything. I mean, I can always launch into some other stuff that the audience might want to hear, but I'd like to see if any of these folks have any really valid questions. You know, the only dumb question is the one that isn't asked, okay? But if there are any legitimate questions people have, and I know they generally do, we might entertain them. And if they run out of questions, we can go into, I can give you a little bit of a law seminar I think you'll find most interesting.
Well, I guess we can open up the phone lines, 512, 248-8252. Hey, I got it right, Mike. Come on in, bring your calls in. I'm sure somebody out there has got to have a question. But in the meantime, while we're waiting on callers, you were going to talk some more about the actual you know, about the passport, about the little ID card, how what you do when you're applying for that, what you do once you get it, you know, what do you do with it, you know, who's it going to affect?
This is a constantly evolving situation, and as of late, in the last really couple of days, I'm going to start advising everybody to serve the State Department with two copies of this. If you're going to use a passport application, which I highly advise that you do, most everybody can afford $30. Okay. And if you can't, I'm sorry for you. You can do it the other way. But most everybody can afford $30. You don't have to pay for a passport book. And here's the difference. If you're going to travel internationally, you need a book. Okay. And there's a reason for that, is when you're traveling in different countries and you enter a country, they stamp your book with a visa stamp on the date you came in, because most countries have a 90-day tourist visa situation, and you can stay inside the country as a tourist with no problem for 90 days. And then when you leave, they stamp it on, you know, it depends on how many stamps you got in there if you're a big traveler, but they stamp it there generally on the same page next to the enter stamp. They do an exit stamp. And so that's why you need a book. Back in 2007, and I can tell you the exact year because it happened when I was applying for my first passport. Excuse me. They had a law change. Used to, if you were going to go to Mexico or Canada or the Caribbean on a cruise, you could do it on a driver's license if you had a valid driver's license. And in 2007, they changed that, and they made you get a passport to do that. I don't have any idea why. And so that was the summer that I applied for my passport, and it took an inordinate amount of time because they made that announcement close to the travel season in the summer, and all these people had travel plans, and now they had to get a passport. Okay, so the passport office was obviously swamped with applications, and that was the summer that changed. So that's why you can buy just a card. If you're only going to Mexico, the Caribbean, or Canada, you don't have to buy a book, okay? And you can get both, or you can get either, all right? For most of our folks, especially these days, I seriously doubt if people are doing much international traveling, anywhere near like they used to, okay? So that's a decision you're going to have to make in your own situation as to whether you want to purchase a book or not. Even if you've got a book, I highly advise that you don't carry it with you, because if you lose it, replacing a lost passport's a pain in the rear end. Okay.
Yeah. What about if you wanted to go international though? Would that passport's not good for overseas? Is that correct, or am I wrong?
Wait, no. Which passport?
Well, the national. You know.
Oh no, it's good anywhere.
Okay, well, that's cool.
It's good. In fact, if you understand and see what's going on here, when you can catch them, and they'll say on the passport, it says passports are only issued to U.S. citizens and nationals. Okay. Now, in the passport, that's something we haven't gotten to very heavily, is the non-American Samoans. That's something we may want to touch on. Okay. But it says in there, because they're mixing and matching those two. All right. So it says passports are only issued to U.S. citizens and nationals. And you'll see on that first page where they got all the writing and stuff, you'll see it referred to as U.S., and then in the background it says USA. So there's both of the statuses, U.S. and USA. U.S. is federal, USA is national. And there it is, U.S. all passports are only issued to U.S. citizens and nationals. And it's so tricky what these little guys are doing here, these little Sabbatean Zionist pieces of crap. Slaving bastards is who they are. And but no, nationals don't have any problem. They can't give you any problem because it was the initial status in the country. This federal status was the one that came along 80 years later. Okay? And they're both
okay,
working.
Yeah, it was just something I read. And I know they said that you have the full protection of the United States government as far as when you're traveling overseas. Well, guess what? We got full lines, buddy.
Is that
so
right?
So if you want, good. Yeah, they're we're full already. Boom, right. boom, 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 boom. So if you want, did you want to say more about the Samoa thing, or you want to save in case we get a lull in the call?
Keep it. Let's put it that in our back pocket, and let's hit these calls. I don't want to keep them if they're full bank. I don't want to keep them on hold too long. We've kept them on hold for two whole shows.
I know.
I do want to mention crazy. This is how much my profit motive is in here. I've done 4 hours with you, and I never even mentioned my book one time, I don't believe. Okay? I wrote a book.
Well, we need to do that then. We'll do that.
Anyway, if anybody wants to accuse me of being a PAY triot, there's a good example of how I'm not. Let's bring the calls on, if you would, Tom.
Yeah. I know a lot of patriots for profits, as I call them. I'm sick of them,
There's way too many of them in our movement.
Yeah, and the one thing that really drives me nuts is that no matter, even on like Fox and stuff, they continue to say democracy. They never touch on anything about the Federal Reserve System, and they never, I don't think we'll ever hear anything about the discussions that we're having. So, all right, we have Mark from Oklahoma on one. Go ahead, Mark. Thanks for calling. What's your question, comment for Roger?
All right. I really appreciate what you've been doing the last few nights on this, Roger, and I've been rereading or re-listening to the archives and everything. But I've just recently finished the passport process and got all my paperwork and everything back. Now, I hear lots of stories that you have to unwind yourself from the system in some way, and maybe that applies to banking, use of the post office, driver's licenses. And are you treated any different in the courts?
Well, it depends. They're not going to come after you because their jurisdiction is citizens of the United States and citizens and residents in the federal courts. Okay? So they can't come and charge you with anything because you're not either one of those anymore. Okay? Now, you may want to use your state courts, and of course, all property law is state law, and you've got access to the common law in your state courts. There was a case in 1947 or 8 called Erie Railroad versus Tompkins. Are you familiar with that case?
I am not.
Okay, that was a case. It was a really weird situation of a guy that was walking along a train track, and a train came by that had some lumber sticking out, and it hit him in the head. And so that case went to court, and basically the thumbnail decision from that is there is no more federal common law. So you can't access common law in the federal courts, but you can in the state courts. Okay. And now we understand that the federal courts are administrative tribunals, basically, under bankruptcy, because it was after the bankruptcy that they changed all the federal rules of civil procedure and all that stuff. All that has been an outgrowth since they changed the system in March the 9th of 1933. As for unwinding all the contracts, your driver's license is a prima facie evidence of residency, because you can't get a state-issued driver's license without them answering the question that you're a resident, okay? But now that you've severed the relationship at the head guy, they can't make you have something that you wouldn't have in your other status, okay? You see the condition they're in there? A lot of people, once they get a passport card, Mark, I've got several of my guys that drive, and that's the only identification they carry. We just had a guy call in this week from Birmingham, Alabama. I think I mentioned it yesterday. He was in a suburb of Birmingham called Irondale, and he gets pulled over because he doesn't have a tag on his car. And so the suburban cop comes up, typical Alabama cop, and you don't have a tag on your car. He said, well, this is a private conveyance, and I'm not driving, I'm traveling. And he gives him the passport. And the cop goes back, and he says, I've got a bill of sale for the car. And he goes, well, I'd like to see that. So he showed him the bill of sale, and he takes his passport card back and calls in and runs it. And he comes back and said, you really ought to have some insurance. See you later. I've got another guy in Alabama also who was out on a back county road and runs into one of these stops where they're stopping and checking for registration, insurance, all that stuff. And so they had several other cars parked. It was some rural intersection there. And the cop comes up to the car, and my guy says, I'm not under arrest, am I? And the cop kind of laughs. Ah, no. And so he hands him his passport card, and he goes back and he runs it. He comes back and says, well, you need to be real careful out there. Next time you ought to try and have a driver's license with you. The other guy is a guy up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, who's a retired truck driver. And he didn't come into this through my process, but he stumbled into us. He came in through a process. There's a website called coppermoonsignstill.com. Have you ever seen those guys, Paige?
Yes. Yeah, I tried to get my passport the first time with that, and they wouldn't take it.
Okay, well, I don't think they've got it down right, but their intentions are good. They got some really good court sites on there. Okay, and anyway, he had gone through Copper Moonshine Stills process, and he's got a real nice BMW, 5 Series BMW. He's got a custom tag on it that he had made up, and he's been stopped in both Virginia and North Carolina with a passport, and hands it to him, and they go back and check it. Say, have a nice day. Be real careful out there. So I just
need to get on with being a free man.
That's I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, as you have questions and stuff, I invite any of you to join us on my Eurofolk Radio Network show daily. We're on there weekdays for 2 hours, and we got a nice, sometimes we got 35, 40 people on there, and we have really good discussions on these issues and other people that have been through this and have some experiences, and something will come up, and we get in there and discuss it, and iron sharpens iron, and we've come up with some real good solutions out of there on a lot of this stuff. You're all welcome to join us over there if you'd like, okay?
All righty. Well, we've got, thank you, Mark. You done? You done, Mark?
Yes, I'm finished.
Okay, well, thanks for calling, buddy. And check out the TLB Talk. We've got a forum set up just for this these issues. And, come back and visit us again.
Thank you, Roger.
You're welcome, Mark. Thank you.
We got Joe from Oklahoma, too, now. Go ahead, Joe. You're on on with Roger.
Bunch of you Okies are interested in freedom, aren't you?
Yes, we are. In fact, we're pretty close to each other. We know each other.
Oh, okay.
But what I called about, I have been involved in this movement, if you will, for lack of better terminology, for well over 30, maybe even 40 years. And I have not been able to get everything squared away in my mind to where I didn't feel like I had my butt hanging out the window getting ready to get shot at, because with all the good cops there are, and all the good school teachers there is a whole trainload of them that would just love to throw you in jail and take everything you've got. And here's where I'm headed with this.
What?
Is firearms purchases. Have you ever renounced your citizenship?
Oh, I'm not renouncing my citizenship. I'm changing statuses.
Okay, but here's the question I have, though, is you go to make a purchase, and the people that are doing this paperwork, they don't know squat from Shinola about what's going on. All they want to do is follow the federal mandate, including the driver's license. The last purchase I made, I told them, I said, I don't have a driver's license. And they said, well, you won't pass. Well, they submitted it, and it did.
That's why you want to get one of these passport cards, is it will suffice for all that. Okay, it's really a better form of ID than a driver's license. Same guy that I was talking about that got stopped there on the rural road, he lives outside of Gadsden, Alabama, outside of Birmingham. And I've been out there a while, and he had a relationship with the gun shop there in town, and he had bought other items from him before he went through the process. And so, and it's one of these gun shops where they got a table in the back, you know, and all the
right.
cowboys from town sit back there and drink coffee and discuss politics and women and stuff, you know. And
right.
so he's in there, and he's been telling them about this, and they're all obviously very skeptical. And so he goes in, as he says, to buy a shooting iron. And so he goes in, he knows the guys, and so he goes to buy it, and he tells the guy, he says, I want you to tell him I'm a national. And the clerk says, they won't sell it to you. They won't let me sell it to you. And he goes, well, just humor me. Okay. So he calls the background check, and he goes, they're asking him, citizens of the United States. He goes, well, he says he's a national. And the guy on the other end says, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, sell it to him.
Okay.
Also, there is, you can probably look up Nash, put in the search engine national and gun cases. There was a case with an American Samoan out in Hawaii that went to court. And American Samoans, we hadn't discussed that in depth yet. That's what Tom and I were just talking about a minute ago. But and we probably need to explain that to you guys. But that one, they said sell it to him, too. They can't stop you from buying it. Now, here's the other side, Joe. Title 27 is BATF, okay? And if you go, there's 50 titles of the Code of Federal Regulations. The Code of Federal
right.
Regulations are what runs the country. The code, the agencies are the deep state that everybody keeps referring to. What's the deep state? It's the administrative agencies, okay? Even when your representatives pass a law, they whatever they pass eventually gets down to the agencies, and somebody changes and reinterprets that law that was passed by Congress and promulgates it as a regulation, and that's what they come and apply to you, okay? If you go to 49 of the 50 titles of the Code of Federal Regulations, their jurisdictional statement's on the front page, okay? And you open the book, and it'll say residence. All these are basically apply to residents. There's only one that's different. Can you guess which one's different?
Go ahead.
IRS.
The IRS,
okay.
Yeah.
IRS is different because there's constitutional taxes, and because of that, and because I think they wanted this loophole in there so they can utilize it, because, you know, our Sabbatean Zionist guys, they think they're way above paying taxes, okay?
Yeah.
And so because of that and the fact that two sections of the code have a constitutional tax, the jurisdictional statement in Title 26 reads differently. Instead of residence, I'm going to quote it to you verbatim, okay? And you can go look it up, and I encourage you to go, wow, this guy's telling me the truth. 26 CFR 1.1-1 parentheses small a. 1.1-1 parentheses small a. Now, that's pretty close to the front of the book. If you open up the cover page, it's up on the top right on the first page. And it reads, an income tax is owed by all individuals who are citizens of the United States and residents, there's our slave categories, and to the extent of 871 and 877B, all non-resident alien individuals. So, you're looking at that as a tax attorney or maybe even a judge. You go, well, that must be Jose the tomato picker, right? Well, what my question is what is Jose the tomato picker doing owing taxes and paying taxes in two sections of the code, which are both constitutional? And the way they've framed that is if you are a national, you're non-resident to the residency of the 14th Amendment, and you're alien from its voluntary servitude status, so therefore you're a non-resident alien. Now, doesn't that make sense?
It makes sense, but how do you get it across to the judge or the state trooper or the sheriff?
You're never going to get it to a judge because you're going to tell the IRS and send them a copy of this affidavit and tell them to adjust their records accordingly, and they're never going to come after you because now you can bring that into court should they ever get there, and they'll never bring you to court. They don't want these issues brought out in the open. They're scared to death of them.
Yeah, it's just like a lot of issues, especially like where people win mortgage cases against the banks and stuff. They lock these things up. They don't want anybody else to know and have to be able to figure out that they can do it too.
They give you the keys to the house and put the case under seal where nobody can see it.
Right, exactly.
Okay,
Roger.
Hold on, Joe. I'm gonna tell you this story. I've had this affidavit come up once in a courtroom that I know of. Okay, and it was a case of a guy that went over to Europe, met a foreigner, fell in love with her, got her pregnant, brought her back. They had the baby. It was the only grandchild, so the parents come over from whatever country, Belgium or someplace. And they're, of course, over here, and all they're hearing on the news is sovereign citizen, this was about, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. Sovereign citizen this, sovereign citizen that, you know. And so they think he's a sovereign citizen because he's listening to me. And so they get a divorce, and he's got control over the health of the child. That was his area. And he doesn't want the child getting vaccinated. And they're about to have a conniption to get this kid vaccinated. So they go and go back to court. And part of their case, they put my book in there. My name was in their pleadings. They put a copy of his affidavit in there. So it was the plaintiffs that had submitted the affidavit into the court proceedings as their moving party on the case. Well, now because it's in the case and in the documents, he gets on the stand and picks up the affidavit and starts reading it. The judge says, "Don't read that document in this courtroom." That's how they treat it, Joe.
Mm-hmm. Roger, I burned up way more time than I should. I applaud you for what you do. I appreciate you and RBN, and I will follow you intently. It's one of those things, you know, that you, like you said, you got to decide for yourself.
Well, let me tell you, Joe, before you leave, I've been doing this and helping people do it for 11 years now in another month or so, okay? I've never had one piece of blowback from anybody, anything negative happened to them that's ever been reported to me.
Well, I have worked my butt off all my 73 years to accumulate some things, and I have some real estate and machinery and stuff like that, and I don't want to give it up to a bastard. So that's my concern is.
Okay, well, then you better start looking at this real seriously so they don't have a reason to come take it, because if you change status, they lose total jurisdiction over you, okay? And this isn't anything on their choice. This is all your choice. What political system you live under is your choice, not them. If they tell you what you are, they're tyrants, open and notorious. That's why they can't do it. But you don't do whatever selection you want to make, and whatever you're comfortable with is all right with me, okay?
Well, I appreciate your efforts, and I will listen intently.
Okay, great, Joe. Nice to
meet
you.
Thank you. Nice meeting you. Bye.
Thanks, Joe. All right, well, I did some digging while you guys were talking, and I found something under immigration help. It says the following points will help you understand whether or not you're eligible to purchase and possess a gun in the United States. Only citizens, U.S. nationals, and lawful permanent residents in the U.S. can purchase guns freely. Non-immigrant aliens and that are not lawful permanent residents cannot purchase guns. They can borrow and rent, but they can't purchase. So isn't that funny? They got right there in the immigration help website, only citizens, U.S. nationals, and lawful permanent residents. There's that other trick word.
And see, here's the other part. If you're not a resident, then none of those regulations on what you can buy and what you can have apply to you. Those are all regulations for residents. They don't make anything to do with nationals.
Right. All righty. Let's see. We have Sheldon from Washington. Boy, Washington is sure a hotbed of things going on. This is especially relevant to people that are living in Washington State.
It sure is.
This health inspector crap that they're going to try to come around and pop you with a needle. Boy, I'll tell you, anybody... I had, you know, once I was, you know, I haven't taken any kind of a shot in over 45 years, and that's no exaggeration, nothing. And, you know, when I go to the doctor, they keep bugging me. Oh, did you get your flu shot? Did you get your pneumonia shot? Did you get your shingles shot? Did you get your stupid shot? Whatever. I say, oh, yeah, I got it down at Walgreens. You know, don't worry about it. Because they bug you. They bug you, bug you, bug you, bug you. And I one time they came in and she had, the nurse had a needle and a little bottle. And I said, what's that? Well, she said, it's the flu vaccine. I said, if you come near me with that, I swear I'll jab you in the eye with it. And she turned green and ran out of the room and never came back.
That so, Tom, Sheldon, he's a real argumentative patient.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, you know, that is true, you know. Yeah, but you know what? I'm a PDT with our buddies at the IRS too, so I don't really give a crap. You know what a PDT is, right? You know that designation if you're a PDT on your master file? Potentially dangerous taxpayer.
Yeah, tax protester.
It depends on where you put the comma. Are you an illegal comma tax protester or an illegal tax comma protester? They got all upset because I followed an IRS agent home and served him with a cease and desist, and the whole thing, you know, just kind of everything went crazy. So
TP
they labeled me a PDT.
Yeah. That seems like I remember
potentially
that.
Potentially dangerous taxpayer.
I try to forget all IRS stuff except how to get out of it. Let's get to Sheldon here.
I know. Okay, go ahead, Sheldon. You're on. I'm sorry.
Oh, Sheldon. Sorry. Hey, Sheldon.
Sheldon. Yeah, we'll give you a couple extra minutes since I took some of it. Sheldon.
No, that's
Sheldon?
Okay. I don't even know. I'm 70, zero pills for many years, and thank you for putting those three pieces of paper out there. And I'm not intending to start any fires, with the greatest of respect. I've been following this for decades, and I came so close many times to doing this guy's website that was, I forget now, started out to be $400. Now I think it's $600, and he sends you all the paperwork, and he tells you what to do, and yada, yada, and says he'll stick with you, but now you're doing the same thing, maybe better for free, and I'm not really asking if he'll stick with us because I've seen that. And you answered my question yesterday about losing Social Security. I'd like to know what happens when it comes time to renew my OTR license, my over-the-road Class A semi-license.
Well, and, you know, here's... Okay, can I? You want to go on and follow that up, or you want me to address
that
right now?
Go ahead, go ahead.
Okay, well, you see, if you're driving commercially, you're in commerce. Okay. So you got to have that license, and I'm not sure their requirements. I'm not a truck driver. I've got a couple of other guys. I've got one down in Naples that's been through this, and, you know, when Terrence is driving his truck there around, he just does local deliveries. He is in commerce, but when he parks his truck at the end of the day and gets in his car and goes home, he's in his private conveyance. You get me? Okay? So... I would just say to tell them that you're a national, or you might have to be a citizen of the United States while you're driving a truck. But when you're not doing that, you're not that. You've changed over and you're not in commerce, Sheldon. I'm not sure if that directly answers your question, but that's about the best I can do.
Yeah, well, I'm not driving now. But it's just that these licenses now here in Washington, and I'm sure everywhere because it's dot rules, you have to go to an actual school with a building. You have to spend $5,000 to $7,000-$8,000, and I got mine for less than $1,000 when the guy could teach you himself, and you just waltz in and take the test. And that's changed now. So if I lose it, then I'm $10,000 behind the eight ball again, and I'm just wondering, when it comes time to renew the license next time, if I uncheck that, you know, what's going to happen? But other than that, you say this, how long does this procedure take? You know, giving snail mail plenty of time, does this take 2 months, 6 months, or 3 weeks?
Well, I'd say the minute, since the post office is an authorized agent, once you put it in their system, it should be considered received. Okay. Now, do you want to submit your application with or without a passport application, or both?
Okay.
Well, now,
Thank you again for your time.
No, don't run off. You didn't answer my question. Do you want to submit your affidavit with a passport application, without a passport application, or I'm advising people now to do both, okay? So do you have an existing passport, Sheldon? Have you had one in the past?
I have, but it's been decades since I've been at sea, okay.
All right. Well, since it's been that long, you'd probably have to go back and start with a DS-11, all right? And that means you got to go to the post office and sign the your oath in front of an administrating official, okay? That is taken between 5 and 7 weeks to get back a passport card is what they're telling me. But I would advise people to do both, really. And you just send one without a passport application, and those documents that Tom is talking about has got instructions. One of them is how to file a national affidavit, and it's got both with and without, and it's got an address for the State Department there in Washington, D.C., and you might want to send one to them and have Extension Administrative Records Department on the envelope and put a nice little cover. Excuse me, my stomach's acting up on me. Put a nice little cover letter in there that just says, please find the enclosed citizenship evidence, okay, because that's what you want to call your affidavit, because that's how the lawyers at the State Department refer to it, citizenship evidence, all right? I'm pretty sure the attorneys at the State Department understand the definition of the word evidence, okay? And so please find the enclosed citizenship evidence. Please place it firmly and permanently in my administrative file. Thank you very much, Sheldon. That's all you need to say, okay? And see, they can't say no because it's not their choice. It's your choice on what system you live under. See, that's the disadvantage that they're under here, is they can't say no.
So I'm submitting two complete separate packets then, but headed to identical addresses, is what you're saying.
That's what I'm suggesting lately. I wouldn't have told you that last week or week before, but with a couple of things that we've experienced here in the last few days and me thinking about it, it just seems nice if you hit them with both, because now the passport office is going to be getting a lot of them, and the regular State Department is going to be getting a lot of them, and all of a sudden they've got these affidavits coming in twofold on what it was before, and they take attention to that. They're scared as hell of this, man. I'm telling you.
Okay, one final thing here that made big news, and it scared them. Excuse me, it scared them so much in Olympia. This come and get you through the health department and bypassing the local sheriffs.
Right.
It was voted down.
Oh,
and
was it?
They backpedaled big time on the web pages saying, oh, we would never put the citizens of Washington State. Oh, we would never do anything to this. Uh-huh. And everyone pretty much used the same words, basically the same thing. We got caught this time, but give us a little bit of air and we'll be back again. It's pretty much what I gathered from everything.
Well, I'm glad that was voted down. You know, I do a show every Sunday with a guy out of Spokane, okay? Over on a network called Patriot Soapbox, PatriotSoapbox.com, I think. And he's in Washington State, so this came up. And did you notice in the press that it got, because that press release was about 10 days ago, I think, did you notice on who the law was written for? Did you catch that?
Well, I caught residents, and I caught non-vaxxers and people that were dissenters, basically.
Well, the non-vaxxers and dissenters don't mean crap. Residence means everything. If you aren't a resident, they couldn't have done that till you had it passed. If you are a resident, they stated right there in the proposed legislation, that's who they're coming after. Once again, as you get more acclimated to this information, you'll get to where those words like light up like with neon signs when you see them. Okay? Before, you're not conscious of them because you don't understand the importance of it. After you get this information under your belt a little bit, you'll see it and they'll stick out like a neon light, I promise you.
I think this is just going to be the rest of my life, the rest of our lives who do this is going to be like going to Superior Court. They have their bar association, and it's all concrete rules and rivets and welded joints. But when you come in there pro se, we don't follow that rule book. We do some of their rule book, but the rules we break, they can't really enforce. Like the last superior judge I was in, he holds up this my motion, and he says, you see this? This is barely good enough. You weren't doing this and this and this. And I said, yes, Your Honor, but yes, here we are. Shut him right up, and I won the case eventually. So thank you so much for your information and helping us all, sir.
Okay, Sheldon, well, stay tuned and stay on top of it. If you want to move forward, we're all for you. And, you know, now you, if you file this, you'll be over under the common law, and you won't have to put up with as much of that crap. And should you want to go to court, the only way they'll be able to bring you to court is if you violated any of the, you know, with common law, you go, there's got to be an injured party, see? And with man-made laws, and don't spit on the sidewalk. Well, there, that stuff doesn't apply to you anymore. There's going to have to be an injured party before they bring you in. And if you want to go in, you're going into court to go for whatever you're going in there business-wise under a totally different mantra. You're a state citizen now in the common law, okay, and not in all of their merchant law stuff unless you're in a contract with somebody, okay, which you can still enter into contracts with people, all right?
Well, the last times I've been in the court, I'm the aggressor. I'm the one that's going in there whining away, and everybody else is on the defense. So I can see this will only bolster my cases in the future.
Well, what, you know, my object, and people always know, what if I go to court? Well, listen, the object that I try and get to people is where you don't go to court.
Well, that'd be great.
I mean, you know, the feds can't come after you because you're not a citizen of the United States or a resident anymore. Those are the only statuses they have any jurisdiction over.
I get it.
Okay.
Thank
There's
you,
a court case. You're very welcome. There's a court case. I should have you read it. Tom, I think I sent it to you, but we didn't plan to bring it up. It's from 1835, okay? And it's a really weird style, you know, the name of the case. Ubuntu V. D'Arcy, Ubuntu, I think is the way you pronounce it, V. D'Arcy, as 1835. And it was something about citizenship. And the court site that a listener sent me, thank you, whoever did it years ago, thank you. I never found this, okay? So many of the big pieces I've gotten have come from listeners, honestly.
And well, maybe during the break you can spell that out for Michael. Michael can find it and put it up maybe or get us a link to it.
I might could get you the site.
Yeah, we're coming up on break here in a couple minutes, but I wanted to, you know, the fella, Sheldon, we skipped the half hour break, so we went right through. We're already at 56 minutes, but Sheldon, you know, he's saying, you know, he's operating in commerce, which he is, because, you know, that's really the legal definition of a driver is someone who uses the highways for profit or gain. So I don't see a problem with you having a commercial driver's license because you're doing that kind of work. But that shouldn't still drag you back into the jurisdiction other than doing that job, right?
When you're on the job, you can't speed. And you got to adhere to DOT regulations and all that stuff because you're in that activity. But when you're driving your car home, you're not.
Right. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
I wholly agree. Yep. Yeah. It's, we got about another minute, I guess. So.
Okay. Well, let me just tell you what this court case says without having to go look it up. It just says a passport is a document that identifies you to other nations under the law of nations. It actually says the law of nations in there, Vattel. And it says, however, if this is in a court of law as to the fact of citizenship, it's an entirely different matter. The passport's an ex parte document. It's something separate. And it's only what the Secretary of State has in his possession if satisfactory for evidence to be admitted in court is what should be considered the higher and better evidence. That's why I always tell people to get this in affidavit form, because once it's in your administrative file with the Secretary of State, you can bring that into any court proceeding and it bypasses the rules of evidence. They can't keep it out, and they don't want this coming up in a courtroom.
Yeah, he's got to go to break. We'll see you guys back in a couple minutes and go get a potty break, get a drink, and come on back. All right. We must take the medical back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.